Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International. It is now exactly 9:15. My name is Muhammad Bam and I'll be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online we have is Mawlana Zahir Ahmed Raghi. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how are you this morning, Mawlana?
Alhamdulillah, and yourself, Mawlana?
Alhamdulillah, Allah has been extremely kind, and we also take this opportunity of saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners on Radio Islam.
Mawlana, I know that today we 1 week before Eid, but let us continue on the commentary of Suratul Kahf that we were doing. And just a quick recap, we don't want to go too much detail in these recaps. Last week we read about the ayat makithina fihi abada, and we did a good understanding of the word makithin. We say normally everywhere else in the Quran Allah uses the word khalidina fiha abada, but here Allah uses a different word, makithina fihi abada, and we gave a reason for this. It refers to the eternity of Jannah and anticipation of something better to come. So the more you're going to be staying into Jannah, every time something new, or you're going to be anticipating something even better every time. And khalidin just shows that you are staying there forever.
Yes.
And we also learn in this surah about our life in this world is going to be a temporary life, and the true life that where we're going to enjoy ourselves is that of the year after, Mawlana. That's where
correct.
We stopped.
That's correct, Mawlana.
Ji, Mawlana, we can continue from there.
Ji, we're going to go on to the next ayah today, Mawlana.
Ji.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ إِنْ يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا. That this Quran has also come to warn those who have said that Allah has had a son. قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ. While they have no knowledge about it, وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ, nor have their fathers any knowledge of it. كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Grave is the word that comes out of their mouths. إِيَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا. They say nothing but a lie. This is the ayah that we're going to talk today on, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. If you recall, we spoke about the warning that Allah brings in this ayah, or in the beginning of the surah, about بَأْسًا شَدِيدٌ, that Allah says that one of the reasons for the revelation of the Quran is to warn of this great calamity, war, that is going to come. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala switched on to give glad tidings for يُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Glad tidings for those who bring iman and do good deeds, that they will be given أجر حسن, a good reward, and مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا, which we spoke of last week. Again, after that, Allah comes back to the issue of the warning. Now, the question is that when you give a warning, it is warning who and warning against what. Generally, whenever you give someone a warning, these are the two questions that you answer in a warning. Who are you warning, and you warning against what? Now, in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a warning with regards to what? Meaning the ba's shadid, the great calamity. We spoke about the battle as we go along, and we also made the reference to it that some of Fasreen have said it is the trials that will precede the emergence of the Dajjal. It also has the meaning of the Armageddon, the great battle that's going to take place between the people of faith and people of disbelief. Now the question comes that who is this warning for? And in this part of the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses that part. That it is, the Quran has come as a warning. As a warning to who? To those who have said that Allah has had a son. So this warning, so that it warns those who say that Allah has taken a son, is actually a continuation, and it's added on to the original warning from ayah number 2, which was of the terrible war. So it's actually continuing the conversation, And the second object of the verb, which was not mentioned in ayah number 2, is now mentioned here, that who is this warning for? This warning is for those who have appointed a son for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't mentioned in the ayah number 2, the warning is for who? And in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses that. So who exactly are the people that are being warned? Now, the groups that are being warned, because of the language that is so open in this ayah, وَيُنْذِرَ الَّذِينَ, and it's come to warn those. So anyone who commits shirk, we need to understand that appointing a son for Allah is shirk. So anyone who commits shirk and attribute any kind of child to Allah are included in this. Now, when we just hear the ayah that it has come to warn those who have appointed a son for Allah, most of the times our mind may just go to one particular grouping, although this particular group is the primary focus and the primary address here. However, in the openness of this language that Allah has used, it addresses anyone that commits shirk. So anyone who committed the shirk and attributed any kind of child to Allah. So this is a warning for the Jews of Medina who believed Uzair is the son of Allah. They were a particular brand of Judaism and they believed that Allah had a son. This was one particular brand of Jewish community that lived in Madinatul Munawwara in those days, known as Yathrib. And they were a particular brand of Judaism and they believed that Allah had a son by the name of Uzair. Also add to that is the Christians who say Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, na'udhu billah, is the son of Allah. And it also includes all the mushrikun, the mushriks who say the angels are the daughters of Allah. So the word walad, qalu ittakhadha Allahu walada, is used to imply singular, plural, male, son or female daughter. It is broad and can apply to all three examples mentioned that I have just mentioned. Imam Alusi from Ruh al-Ma'ani says that the first group being warned is different than the second group. In keeping the language open, Allah addressed all three populations. We need to appreciate the remarkable genius of this ayah. Now, let's go back to the beginning of the commentary of the surah. Right in the beginning of this commentary of the surah, especially when we were discussing the introduction. In the introduction, we spoke about the questions that the Jewish people had asked the mushrikeen to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you reflect, the mushrikeen of Makkah went to Medina. They asked the Jewish scholars that give us some questions that we can ask Muhammad that he will not be able to respond, which will result in us proving that he is not a Nabi. Now, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought this ayah, it actually, the geniusness of it and the awesomeness of it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the Jewish also in this. He's addressing the mushrikeen also. And because this ayah, or because the surah is talking about, it's talking about the Christian community, it also addresses them. So appreciate the remarkable genius of this. Who posed the tough questions to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It was the Jews. Now they are receiving a warning. They posed it through the mushrikun, and now they have received a warning. But the story originally belongs to the Christians, and they have also received a warning. So the warning is for the Jewish community who had asked the mushrikeen to ask the question. It's also for the mushrikeen because of them keeping a son or daughters for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Christians as they have asked or believe that Isa alayhi salatu wassalam is the son of Allah. So in its remarkable how Allah has brought this. So everyone involved in shirk has been warned. Alladhina qalu, those in the plural who said, includes everyone. اتخذ الله ولدا, it is said about an issue in which you hold on and continue doing it. So coming back to the ayah, Allah says, and this Quran has come to warn those who have said that Allah has had a son, while they have no knowledge about it, nor had their fathers. Grave is the word that comes out of their mouths. They say nothing but lie. Now, الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا, those who have said that Allah has had a son, the disbelieving Arabs who claim that the angels are the daughters of Allah, the Christians who said that Isa is the son of Allah, the Jews who claim that Uzair is the son of Allah. For our purposes, in relation to our discussion, in relation to the trials found today, we will restrict our discussion here so to that of the Christian community, because primarily that is the object of discussion. The others were mentioned, by the way, in the subtle gems of the Quran. We can clearly see which nations the final fitna of Dajjal will come from. And this is what the Quran is saying. Till today, no Christian could ever answer the challenge of the Quran. And the Quran has said very clearly, they are liars with regards to the claim that Isa is the son of Allah. Allah says, مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ, wise, they have no knowledge about it. They claim that Allah has a son, مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ, while they have absolutely no knowledge about it. Now, somebody may think that they know something, and they may be regarded as intellectuals, philosophers, theologians, and Allah is saying that they have no knowledge whatsoever. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ. Now this is a very lengthy discussion on what is the definition of knowledge and what is the nature of knowledge. And scholars of the tafsir have went into detailed discussions about the definition and what is really knowledge. For our purposes again, just to bring a very conclusive remark about the whole discussion on this. You can't call information on something that does not exist knowledge. This is the conclusion of all the scholarly discussions on the definition of knowledge. Now I'll say that again, and it's very important for us as listeners and scholars of ulama and others to keep this in mind, that you can't call information on something that does not exist knowledge. So Allah is saying they claim Allah has a son, but this entity of Allah having a son does not exist. So you can't call that knowledge. Extensive myth, that's not knowledge. In doing so, Allah has changed our perception of what is considered to be knowledge. If something does not exist, and if you bring in about whole lot of philosophies about things that it does not exist, you cannot call that knowledge. It has to be of things that are real. It has to be about things that are tangible. It has to be things that has benefit. When something is entirely imaginary, and you know a lot about it, you have a lot of knowledge about something that's imaginary, then no matter what they know or what they have in their myth and their imaginary, and whatever has been documented about it, you cannot dignify that by calling it knowledge. That's what Allah is saying. So the whole concept about this argument about Allah having a son is not even in the terminology of knowledge regarded as knowledge. They aren't even in the proximity of knowledge. This is the strength with which Allah denies this creed that says Allah has a son. Then Allah went further. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ, they don't have any knowledge about it. وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ, nor had their fathers, nor do their ancestors have any knowledge about this. The ancestors of the Christians are the Romans. So it is a myth, and it's made up with you as it was made up with the Roman influence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuted the entire creed by saying, مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ, nor do they have any knowledge, nor do their ancestry. In the Roman culture, that initiated this false claim about Allah having a son, none of them have any knowledge. Another perspective of intimidation that comes out from this is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's greatest qualification, which we made mention of, is that he was, or he is, a abd, a servant, a slave of Allah. When he is taking on Christians, this is an entire challenge to the Roman Empire and all the creed and civilization. The Arabs were on the edge of the Roman Empire and were doing well in trade. They were doing well in trade, they were doing well in economy because of their proximity to the Roman borders. Their entire civilization is intimidating the Arabs, who do not have universities, who do not have the so-called modern concept of knowledge. They are regarded as primitive people. They are tribal nomad people. Now, let's fast forward this concept of this intimidation that was to the Arabs to our times. To our time, and anything that comes from the East, which is regarded as the third world, is generally not regarded as reliable. True knowledge exists in the higher institutes of learning that are considered substantial. Allah does not acknowledge knowledge based on myth. And the word that Allah used, ma lahum bihi, it's a pronoun that goes back to ma lahum bihi min ilm, why they have no knowledge about it. Some argue it means they don't have any knowledge about Allah. The pronoun here, bihi, refers to Allah. They are the last people to be talking about Allah. Or they have no knowledge of what they are actually saying. They have no knowledge about Allah. They have no knowledge about the concept of a deity. They have no knowledge about anything. So how can they even talk and claim to have knowledge about a son of Allah? They have no knowledge of what they are actually saying. And they have no knowledge of the idea of Allah taking a son. Or they have no knowledge of the son. But that may suggest that Allah does have a son. So therefore, scholars have said what it means here is not that they have no knowledge about the son, but they have no knowledge about Allah. And when they have no knowledge about Allah, how can then they claim that Allah has a son? This is the significance of the word ma lahum bihi min ilm. While they have no knowledge about it. They don't have knowledge about what they are saying and whether it is right or wrong. They are just throwing out things blindly and ignorantly without thinking about it or contemplating on it. And as they said in Surah An'am, Allah said, they made up sons and daughters for Allah without knowledge. They don't even deliberate on it. Or they don't even think through what they are saying. They have no knowledge of the truth of what they are saying, or the truth of the matter, or the realization of what they are saying. It is such a seriously wrong idea that they have brought about. How high in the ranks, that how hideous they are by saying that Allah has a son. Allah says in another ayah in Surah Maryam, لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا. Indeed, you have come up with such an abominable, such a repulsive statement to say that Ar-Rahman has taken a son. You have certainly uttered a monstrous thing. In fact, the Quran says that the skies are about to tear open as a result of what they have said. And the statement of Allah has taken a son, the skies are about to rip open from not being able to tolerate these words. The significance of the word وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ, nor their fathers, nor their ancestry. Neither the Christian or Roman ancestors are rooted with knowledge of Allah. That's what Allah is saying. They may have other knowledge. They may have knowledge in architecture. They may have knowledge in government. They may have knowledge about political systems. But they have no knowledge about Allah. People of old, in the primitive times, in history, prided themselves on ancient knowledge. Traditions were passed down from one generation to another. Tradition anywhere nowadays is being abandoned. Globalization is taking over. traditionally, ancient knowledge was regarded as sacred. It was valued. It was protected. It was an honor to even get to touch ancient books and scrolls. The idea of honoring ancient traditions. The thought is, if you don't know anything, then your ancestors should have at least taught you some wisdom. This is what Allah is saying. What are the abaim? Not even your fathers. If you don't know, at least your ancestors should have taught you some wisdom. But you are in such an ironic situation where you don't know anything and you have a tradition of not knowing anything about religion and about Allah. You come from a history of not knowing anything. The idea that are typically associated with knowledge. When ignorance is passed down for a long time without giving a second thought, it leads to evil because you are doing things without knowledge. Over some time, it results in some types of injustice and corruption develops in society, whether it's a transgression of people's rights or Allah's rights. So people who may have originally established or wrote this tradition may not have realized how much evil this tradition will cause. When people later on react to this injustice and are fed up with it, they get rid of the whole thing. When you don't fix a small wrong in your tradition, it turns into a big problem. And later generations come and want to get rid of the whole thing. This is what happened with Christianity in Europe. This problem is even true to the Ummah today. We have certain practices that have nothing to do with Islam, and we consider them staple parts without questioning whether they are really part of deen or not. Islam came to prevent harm, but there are certain practices in our cultures. There are certain practices that harm us, and there are certain practices that does not only harm us, it also harms others. Practices, beliefs, norms that you introduce that has nothing to do with knowledge down the road results in you punishing people, pushing people away. Now, this is what Allah is bringing about here. Till when will we keep answering the questions of people? As Muslims, we should now raise the questions and people should answer. What is the outcome of this belief that Allah has kept a son? When they say Isa is the son of God, and they said he is God. Isa alayhi salatu wa salam has left this world. According to them, he was killed. He was crucified. How can God be crucified? They have such a God which cannot save himself. What kind of God is this? These are the questions that the Quran wants us to question. Now they say, no, he did not die. He sacrificed himself for the sins of all the Christians. Whatever they do, they will not be accountable in the hereafter. After this blunder, they realized that their God has died. Now who will have the authority and power? So they say he spiritually transferred it to the Pope. The Pope is the vice of God. Now Islam came and it spread amongst people, and the rise of science also came with Islam. This aspect, Maulana, and for our listeners, it's very important to keep in mind.
Sure.
That when Islam came, it spread among people. And as a result of Islam, Islam saw the rise of science that came with Islam. The knowledge and the teachings of Islam spread. Quran created this awareness that people should make tafakkur, people should contemplate, people should look at, experience things, what's happening around them. People in previous religions used to accept everything without questioning. For example, in the past, people used to worship anything and everything. And the human psychology is that which you worship does not become an object of research. Therefore, people used to worship the sun, worship the moon, worship rain, worship mountains, worship trees, worship various other creations. And anything that becomes an object of worship will never be an object of research. Subhanallah. When Islam came, Islam brought about the concept that, oh man, you are the highest of creation. Allah has honored you. You are the highest of creation. How can you bow down to every other creation that is insignificant in your presence? This brought about the change. And therefore then mankind started researching every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it was this concept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Quran and through the initial ayats of the Quran brought this realization in man that you are the highest of creation. And if you are the highest of creation that Allah created, how can you worship something that is so insignificant before you? Even the sun has been created for your service. The moon has been created for your service. Everything in the world has been created for your service. So that's how the research started with regards to all the other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when this invitation of the Quran reached the world, they started studying and rejecting all the false statements and teachings and all the false statements and teachings of even the church. On this, the church started killing the scientists. The Christian faith is one of accepting the Trinity. One of the fundamental premises of Trinity is that God has a son. The Christian world entered into the dark ages and they went to the Muslim lands for education. Many of those who studied in the Muslim lands went back and they essentially played a role in the Renaissance of Europe. These people of knowledge began discussing areas in science and reasoning, and this clashed with their religious beliefs. And because the Christian society at that time was so powerful, they tried to suppress such conversations. Libraries were burned down, people were hung in public in order to suppress scientific thinking and reform. As a result, the former Christians developed a hate for Christianity and religion in general, and this was the birth of secularism. And that is the connection of this ayah and this surah with our current times, the birth of secularism. Because secularism argues that religion is against reasoning. Religion is against the rationale of intellectual freedom. Religion is against progress, where it's not so. Religion must not hold a powerful position within society. It should be something personal. Religion is for the close-minded. And this resulted in the birth of secularism. This reaction to Christianity extended to all religions. So when you hate religion, you also hold no regard for Allah and His divine rule. Such people believe that it is science that will help them develop the world systems, and that religion is not responsible for governing what they create. For example, the economies, military, weapons, roads, factories, etc. Whereas in the so-called Dark Ages, the focus was on religion and Allah. And during the Enlightenment era, the focus shifted to science and the study of the universe. The physical universe replaced the worship of Allah. And the first element from the unseen that was gone was Allah. When that is gone, your focus is no longer on the hereafter, but the worldly life. And one no longer reflects about the afterlife. All reflection then becomes of this world. So when the Christians believed in the afterlife, they made their current life one of misery and torture. For example, we had the implementation of the Spanish Inquisition, which tortured and killed people who were not of the Christian faith. The Christians say that although you may be suffering physically, they are trying to save your soul. Post-revolution, the Europeans argue that there is no soul, the soul is replaced with the body. So this surah, Surah Kahf, teaches us that the consequence of the Christian faith, of those who have allotted a son for Allah, was globalized materialism. materialism is internalized so deeply that subconsciously any person, whether Muslim or not, will have doubts about the afterlife. And this is one major component of the fitna of the Dajjal. So after this ayah says, وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا, that this Quran has been revealed as a warning for those who claim that Allah has a son. They have no knowledge, nor do their parents have any knowledge. After this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions something that should be woken up, something that should be made sacred about Allah. And we should have this notion that stay away from secularism, materialism, because it is the Christian faith that gave birth to secularism and materialism. And this surah, the whole theme of the surah, and I will repeat all of this as we go along with all the stories, talks about secularism and materialism and how the surah has come to challenge socialism and materialism. This is what this story is all about, or this part of the surah is all about. Allah then goes on to say, what a huge word comes out of their mouth, that Allah is talking about the audacity. كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِمْ. This can even come out of their mouth. It is a description and how brave they are, that they are horribly monstrous, that they say that Allah has taken a son. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realizes how serious is what they are saying, as what they are saying over and over again. And he realizes that the heavens are shaking and how big what they are saying is, which will explain the next ayah when Allah is saying that you are almost dying in grief about this belief of this. And Allah then goes on to console Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another perspective, when people say lies about someone you love, it's very hard to tolerate that. And you try to help them and they are speaking ill of someone you love. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's love for Allah is beyond our comprehension. And when he hears monstrosities being said against Allah, and he has to still call them to Allah lovingly, that's why Allah says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ. Perhaps you're going to kill yourself out of concern for them. And inshallah, when we come back, we will continue with this part of the ayah. This, in a nutshell, was ayah number 4, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about a reason why he has revealed the Quran to warn those who have taken a son, meaning the Christians, and in the broader discussion, all the mushrikeen, about the great battle that's going to take place between people of faith and people of disbelief. And the people of disbelief will be the people that will be the secularist and the materialist. Today, in the times that we are living in, among the most greatest fitna is the fitna of secularism, the fitna of pure irreligiousness, and the fitna of materialism. And that is the connection of this ayah with the surah and with the times that we are living in.
We want to stop there and just do a little bit on our other topic that we are discussing, that is understanding modern technology, Mona.
Whatever you say, Maulana, you're the boss today.
Maulana, let us take a break, and for anyone that does have feedback on any of our subjects, that is either on the Suratul Kahf or the understanding of modern technology we were discussing about social media, then you can call us. It's 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548, or they can send us a message on 48855, that's 48855. Let's just take a short break and we'll come back and we'll continue. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. There's exactly 7 minutes left for this program. Marana, we have a caller online. Can you just take the caller before we continue, Marana?
With the greatest of pleasure, Marana.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah, brother.
Okay, I would like to have a word with Malana Zahir Raji.
Si.
Go ahead, brother.
I would like to have a word with Malana, please.
Go ahead, brother.
Is it Malana Zahir?
That's correct.
Oh, this is Prince Muhammad Machola.
Oh, Master Prince Muhammad, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, how are you, Malana?
Long time no hear from you, brother. Where are you?
No, good things are scarce, eh?
Yeah, you say good things are scarce or things that you don't need, you throw away. Which one is it?
How are you, Malana?
Alhamdulillah.
No, may Allah reward you abundantly, man.
Exactly.
May Allah grant you of shifa. I didn't see you long, Malana.
Gee, inshallah, we'll meet soon. Inshallah.
No, may Allah make it easy for you, man.
Ameen.
No, I just wanted to make salam to you, that's all.
Jazakumullah.
No, may Allah reward you, man. May Allah grant you safety at all times.
Ameen. And to you also, brother. Allah keep you protected.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Marana, we have another a message also. The brother asked, please give tafsir on the 8th ayat of Surah Al-Kahf. Brother, for the 8th ayat of Surah Al-Kahf, you'll just have to wait for a few weeks. We go in order, yeah? We're busy with ayat number 4, 5, and 6. So, inshallah, we will come to the 8th ayat of the Surah
inshallah,
also.
Inshallah. Gives us the opportunity, tawfiq, inshallah.
Marana, we just want to quickly touch on this that we were doing. So, the understanding of modern technology, and we were explaining about social media. And the last part we did is how social media allows a person to reflect a fake identity, and how does it affect us spiritually and psychologically also and physically also.
Yes, well, I just fear that we might not have sufficient time, but if you want me to just talk a little bit about this, I don't mind doing so. Continuing with our discussion on social media, and there are a few areas that inshallah we will address. Some major points relating to it. And let's look at Facebook. And the first among them is that social media has allowed people to start living an existence that is not their own true existence or identity. To put it in simple words, people are being more fake online today than they have ever been in the past before. And what I mean by this is that if you observe, people will never say things that they say online that they would have the courage to say in real life. People will post pictures that they will never ever show in real life. People will try to show an image of themselves that they are not really in real life. For example, posting a picture of yourself with something that is not yours or that you don't have. Social media gives you the avenue of being a poser, of being fake, or acting like someone that you are not. Or it gives you an opportunity to have multiple profiles. And that's something that has always been a problem, and that's something that has always been addressed by psychologists, educators, spiritual leaders. And the reason why it's such a critical issue online, because through social media, is because the online platform allows you to manifest a fake identity for yourself unlike anything ever before. I mean, because other forms of communication, first of all, it was person to person. You used to personally talk to people. Later on, we had vocal communications by telephone. But this social media is a completely distant, artificial form of communication through text messages, through words, through pictures, through links, and mostly comments and statuses and so on. So this is such a distant and artificial form of communication that you can completely create and put out a completely fake identity of yourself. You can be acting like the complete opposite person of what you really are. And I know this might seem somehow trivial, because what a person may say, what if I'm acting as if I'm playing for my high school soccer team? When in reality, I don't mean, what's the big deal about that? And I'll get to that, inshallah, as we go along. This fake identity of yours that you wish to show has far-reaching ramifications regarding your spirituality, your psychological well-being. It affects your relationship with yourself, your family, your friends, as well as your relationship with Allah, because there is spiritual and psychological degradation. Now, I would like to discuss so much of this, Maulana. It is such a intense topic. And I see that we've already come to the end of our time. But what I would like to do, just before we conclude, I would just like to narrate a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we'll conclude with it and we'll come back to this discussion. And therefore, maybe I feel, Maulana, that because of the importance of this topic, maybe it might be a good idea that we do the first 10 ayats of Surah Kahf, and after that we come back to this topic on social media, and we have and we allocate more quality time to this topic. That might be an idea after Eid, inshallah. But let's just conclude with this one hadith. It is a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that one of the most evil of people is the two-faced person who shows one face to these people and another face to those people. From the most evil of people is the two-faced person who shows one face to one group of people and a different face to another group of people. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said this, that this type of person is the worst of people. Now, this hadith can mean the munafiqeen. However, it also addresses the issue of people manifesting a fake identity to another group of people on social media. Yet when they're at home with their families, they are a total different person. They might have so many multiple profiles that with every group they are expressing a total fake persona of themselves. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Min sharrin nas dhul wajhain." The worst of persons in the eyes of Allah is dhul wajhain. "Alladhi ya'ti ha'ula'i biwajhin wa ha'ula'i biwajhin." Who come to a particular group of people with one face, with one Facebook, and another profile on another Facebook to another group of people. Now this is the seriousness of this matter. Unfortunately, Maulana, time has elapsed. We don't have the time. But I would have loved to talk so much more on this. And let's think about it, that how best can we address this issue in a more productive, in a more quality time. The way we are splitting it might not be the ideal way. Give it some thought. Next week, as we said, we will not be having a program because we are a day before Eid. And when we return, inshallah, let's think about it. Maybe this topic requires urgent and immediate attention. It might be an idea that we complete the first few ayats, the 10 ayats, or we have a pause on Surah Kahf and discuss this more in detail. Let's look at the options that we have, because this is such super abundant use, the social media, and it definitely requires a lot of discussion and thought-provoking thoughts from the Quran and the Ahadith on this topic.
Definitely, Maulana, we will check into that also. Maulana, Jazakallah for your time, much appreciated. We hope to speak to Maulana, inshallah, not next week, the following week, Wednesday.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum.
May all the listeners have an excellent Eid and an excellent 10 days of the Hijjah. Let it be among the best days of your years where you connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It brings to the end of today's episode. Until we meet again, from myself, Muhammad Bam, and my engineer, Tufail. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.